All right, we're going to pick it up with Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And I believe we left off around verse number 13. And just while y'all turning there, I'll read from the paragraph mark. Just for some context, he said, though a sinner do evil a hundred times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. So, you know, we talked about the different aspects of that verse a little bit last time, because the Apostle Paul, I mean, he's doing well, and sometimes it don't seem like he's doing well. So one thing we're going to see is he's developing in his thought. And I love studying Ecclesiastes, because you're seeing a man develop in his thought process, especially as we get to chapter 9. You're going to see him flip-flop in his mind a few times, because he's looking at things under the sun. And when you look at things from an earthly perspective, you flip-flop a little bit in your mind, and you think this way one day, and you think another way the next day, because oftentimes under the sun, looking at things from earthly perspective, you tend to go by your feelings a lot. And feelings fluctuate. One day you feel this way, and one day you feel the next. And so you're going to see some of these things. And from an earthly perspective, you're going to have different views on things. But in the end, if you fear God, whether you understand it or not, you're going to come out way better. And the thing is, the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The reason why people are not wise, heaven-wise and heavenly wisdom today, is because it just boils down to the fact that they don't fear God. And the reason they don't fear God is because they're going by an earthly wisdom, whereas they're seeing, okay, all this stuff's going on, and people are getting shot, and people are dying here, and all this wickedness, you know, in the governmental systems today, and all these things, and nothing's getting done about it. Yeah, but what you don't realize is our present dispensation right now, God is dealing in a way of grace that has never been seen before, and God's sitting up there going, okay, he still intervenes. Don't ever think that your prayers are no good. He's intervening, but not in the way he has in the past. And guess what? He's dealing in a way to where he wants men to come to be saved. He's not up here lowering the boom straight down like he has in the past and stuff like that. He lets certain things get up to a place, okay, boom, he'd just destroy the city, or he'd allow a plague to come in and do this, that, and other thing. Look, you're just living in a sin-cursed earth, and things happen the way they do, and sometimes bad things happen, sometimes good things happen, and you just got to realize that's just the way of the world. But oftentimes, if you look at it from an earthly perspective, it seems like that the wicked are actually getting away with all their wickedness. And let me tell you, they got to answer to God one day. Right. And it seems like people are doing good, and people are doing all kinds of things for the Lord, and all kinds of things that no one knows about. And they're not getting credit for it. They're getting credit with God, and they see things on the other side that they may never see here. And you got to keep that in perspective. He says in verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow. We talked about that shadow. It just seems longer. It seems larger than what the substance is, because he feareth not before God. And that prolonging the days had to do with, if you look at the law, had to do with prolonging their days in the land. Prolonging, that is to lengthen. And when you read in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10 and stuff like that, they would do good. They had a promise that under the law, if they would do good, he would prolong them in the land. But if they didn't do good, see, under the law, it was if you do this, then. It was a if then. Well, that's not what you have now. Because I can tell you something. I don't deserve to draw my next breath. And I still draw another breath, and I still draw another breath. I'm getting under grace things that I do not deserve every single day, and that's God's goodness and his mercy. And you see this thing here, they had a promise under the law where Israel, if they would do right and they would follow what God said, he would prolong their day and keep them in their land. But he said, if you don't, and their law, he said, I'll scatter you. And that's why they get scattered all over the place. And so you see this thing, and he's saying, you know, if you can get your days prolonged, he said in verse 14, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth. See, the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. It is rough to see this. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Will you see this thing? If you will, take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 7. It seems like, you know, okay, and you got to understand too, this is under law, that they sin a wicked and a righteous. You know, in Galatians, Paul, he talked about sinners of the Gentiles. Well, that's Old Testament language because Gentiles were considered sinners and a greater sinner because they weren't following the laws of God. But we can see this principle here. I'm going to show you something in Matthew 7 that's a great blessing to me. It's a good picture of how to look at things. Yeah. And this is something that helps me a lot because you have to understand it doesn't seem right for someone who's doing well, who's trying or working hard, trying to pay their bills and stuff like that. And it seemed like sometimes just bad things keep happening to them and stuff like that. And y'all, that's a rough thing to watch. But the thing that you got to understand is we're all going through things, but there's a different way to go through things. Watch this story here in Matthew 7 and verse number 24. He says, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So a wise man does what God says. Okay, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus said into these sayings, the people astonished at his doctrine. Okay, what's he saying here? The storm came to both. The storm came to the man who did the sayings, and the storm came to the foolish man who did not the saying. What was the difference? The difference was one man built upon a rock and one man built upon a sand. Upon the sand. So if you want to know how to get through this life and how to look at things from the proper perspective, everyone that you meet is either they've been through a storm, or they're going through a storm now, or a storm's coming. That's just the way life is. But the only difference is the ones who build upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and the right foundation, that's who will last. But let me tell you something. These other people, they may live a life just doing wonderful all through life. But you know what the problem is? At the end of the storm, at the end of this life, so to speak, everything will be washed away. It boils down to this, saved or lost. You're either going to be in Christ or in Adam. I mean, that's just, when you die, this thing is either going to be, were you in Christ? What'd you do with the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you trust what He did for you on the cross as your atonement for your as the atonement for your sin? And those who have trusted Jesus Christ, that's the proper thing. And then even after you got saved, you got to build upon a proper foundation, a right doctrine. Well, that's the blessing of getting to know. Not only do you get to get saved, but then He allows you to learn more of Him daily. That's what we're all trying to do. What, like the verse we quote all the time, He wants you to get saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's two sides of that thing. It's one thing to get saved, but it's another thing to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that helps you through the storm, but the storm's coming either way. So it's hard oftentimes to look at these things and say, man, that's a good family right there. That's a good woman. That's a good man. Why has all these things got to happen to them? Because that's just the way it is here under the sun on earth. And if you don't look at it from the perspective of he or she, if they're serving the Lord in the proper way He's told you to serve, guess what's happening? All they're doing is just building things up on the other side that you can't see here and now. But man, they're building things up over there. And then, you know, then you look at things the proper way. He says back in Ecclesiastes, then I commended mirth in verse 15, because a man hath no better thing under the sun. See this phrase? Than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. Now, the thing is, let me read a verse to you. You don't have to keep turning back and forth, but you can mark it down. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Here's a familiar verse. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Under heaven. Guess what? Both under heaven are, if you're looking at things from under heaven, like Paul said, that's one perspective. You're either under heaven or under the sun. You're under both of them. But which one is your perspective? Is it an earthly perspective under the sun, or is it a heavenly perspective, like the Apostle Paul says, where we're under heaven? Why? Because if you look at things and say, man, it's just all earthly, and look at what's going on this earth, and look, you watch what he's saying. He's considering, he's looking, his eyes are looking, and you keep looking at things that's going on earth, and you know what it's going to get you to doing? It's going to get you to come to the conclusion where, to the point where I'm just going to eat and drink and be merry, and I'm just going to do my thing, and the whole rest of the world can just go to hell. That's what will happen to you.
Yes, it will.
You get to the Word, you don't see. The Apostle Paul is looking at things from under heaven, and he's saying, man, I want to go out and preach to every creature. I want to see people get saved. I want to see people get helped. And if you look at things from that perspective, what my life has a purpose. You know one thing that helps me every single day? I know I have to work, and I have to pay bills. I got children that need to be fed, Pampers that need to be bought, baby wipes need to be bought, all this stuff. But you know what? At the same time, I'm not just living for that. I'm not just living because I know I got to pay my electric bill, and I know, you know, the gas bill and all this type of stuff that people get worked up about. That's just part of living under the sun. But you know what else? I can have another perspective under heaven, and I can say, you know what? Why I'm doing all this, I can be studying. I can be helping this person over here. If this person over here has got a question, maybe I've been studying this week, and I might be able to help them spiritually speaking. Then I can be studying. I can be praying, Lord, give me something to be a help to these people. It's going to take their time out and come Wednesday night. I've constantly got something that's a heavenly perspective to keep working toward that'll never run out. Why? Because look, one of these days, which we got a long time now because we got a fresh baby, 18 years. But one of these days, the kids are going to grow up, and they're going to leave the house.
Right.
And if some of these people, they just engulf their life into their kids, their kids, their kids, their kids. And one day their children leave, and guess what? What am I going to do now? You have to have the heavenly balance with the earth. I'm here on earth. I have to pay my bills. I'm here on earth. I have to do earthly things. I have to eat. And I do have to drink. And I do need to be merry. But I still have that balanced out with the fact that I have a heavenly program that I'm trying to carry out while I'm under the sun. And that keeps me balanced out. Why? I'm not going to let things that go on in this earth that I can't control bother me when I know I've got an eternal perspective. There's so much going on that we can't control. If you let that bombard your mind, what people do, that's like these YouTube feed. I was talking to a guy, days run together on me, says days wins, probably Monday evening we were down there. And he was showing, he was going through his YouTube feed. And he has subscribed to so many of these sites where, oh no, Russia again. You're not going to believe what's going on. And it'd be like the worst headlines. And I was looking through, I said, he's a brother. He's saved. I mean, I know he knows the Lord. But I said, man, does that not depress you? Look, oh no, I listen to that stuff all the time. And I was thinking, that's why you're constantly talking about the dollar and all this type of stuff's going. Because I said, man, they've been talking about the dollar collapsing for years and years and years.
Amen.
So what if 30 years ago they'd said, look, the dollar's going, and we said, you look, the dollar's going to collapse. We better go up here and just cash in all our stuff. We got $100,000 in the bank. We just go up here and buy gold with it. Look what a mess you'd been in. You know what you have to do? You have to realize, I do not know what's going to be on tomorrow. The best thing I can do is serve the Lord. And let me tell you what happens with it. When you serve the Lord, it gives you peace of mind. And the Lord takes care of you. I'm just going to tell you, look, the Bible says that my God is able to supply all my need. And you know what that is? My need was up there in the previous verses to think on whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what? I'm going to need God to supply my need to think on these things. And once I'm thinking on these things, guess what? Thinking correctly will take me through and take you through anything that does happen on this earth under the sun. That's what people... Well, okay, guess what? If the dollar did collapse, I want to say this sometime. Do you know if that happened, that God can get you through it?
Amen.
You get this thing where you ain't going to believe, you know, something's going to happen with Taiwan over there, we're going to go to war. Look, he knows all that. He can just spout this stuff. And I said, well, so what? Big deal. You think I can control that? They're going to do what they want to do anyhow.
Right.
You know what? The same God that got me through yesterday can get me through that.
Right.
You know what it does? It gives you a heavenly perspective, and you realize, why don't I focus on and deal with things that I can change? And see, that's the thing. Miss Johnny, do we need to cut that air down? Or cut that air off?
I'm fine.
I want to make sure. But see, he's saying this thing about this because, look, I want you to see, before we get in some of this other stuff, the reason why so many people focus on eating and drinking and being merry. They've got to have the eating. They've got to do all this stuff. Why? It's because that's all that they're living for. There's nothing wrong. There's no sin in eating, drinking, being merry. But if that's all that you're living for, when that gets cut out, you know what's going to happen? You'll do anything to maintain that. And look, if this governmental system, any world system, you read about one of the best things you can read as far as history, you read, there's two or three good books on the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. And you read about how as long as they could maintain their eating and their drinking and being merry, they were fine. And they knew it. And you know what they did? They entertained themselves to death and they corrupted morally. And you know what? Before long, they overtaxed everybody. And you know what's happened? Rome was such a great power. I think the last thing was Constantinople. I think was the last thing. And look, you couldn't convince those people that the place was going, that everything was going to collapse. No, there's no way. There's no way. You know what people are doing now? They're doing the same thing with America. Why? Because we're such a great nation. There's no way we could ever fall. It's not the fact that someone could, a foreign power could come in here and destroy us. The fact is, once you've corrupted morally, you're corrupted. It's not about how much power everybody's got. When the nation ain't worth living in, it don't matter how powerful you are. They focus. That's what's going on today. Instead of focusing on how can I help my neighbor and just putting basic biblical principle to your daily life and just simple sitting on your porch and reading your Bible a little bit, that's good for you. You know what's happened? Everything's about eating and drinking and being married and looking at things under the sun. And guess what's happened? If they would learn the Bible, it would straighten out the kinks in their head.
That's right.
You know what people talk about? All this mind trouble. You can read all these books. I've got several psychology books at the house. I've got one or two. As far as from an earthly perspective, they're as good as any psychology book you can read. But you know what the problem is? They're trying to fix the symptoms. It's all about diagnosing the symptom, diagnosing the symptom. When if you would fix the problem, spiritually speaking, that would fix the other stuff. But people don't want to get to the spiritual issue. Why? Because let me tell you what, I'm going to say 90% of it is, and I'm not a psychologist, so I'm just telling you from a biblical perspective. When you get down to it, most of it, mental issues have to do with sin and trying to cover up for a sin somewhere, and it's bothering them. You get down to that stuff, and I've got the dictionary on psychological problems. And you know what a lot of this stuff is people have got something they've got something in the background. It's a sin they're trying to hold on to, or it's a hidden sin or something like that, and they're trying to hold on to it. And what's happened is they will try to go all around it to try to find joy and everything, when all they would have to do is cut that one thing out and it would help them. You got a lot of these people, and they got severe drinking issues, and you know what they do? They hide it.
Yeah.
They'll go home, and they'll have a bottle of that liquor stuffed somewhere under a drawer, somewhere, something like that right there, and they'll, you know, hit here, there, and yonder, and stuff, and it's all secret. And well, they stay ill all the time because they want to be out in the open with it, but they kind of keep it a little bit hid and stuff like that. You know what happens then? They start blaming other people, and they start taking it out on other folks and stuff. Why, if they would diagnose that one thing and get help. But you know what the problem is with a lot of people? They won't get the help they need. They don't even want to admit they got a problem. And look, you can't get helped until you admit you got a problem. You can't trust Jesus Christ until you admit you're lost. You talk to a lot of these people. You go to a lot of, look, I've been to doors right around here. Talk to them about salvation. Well, we're already saved. Well, could I get a testimony of salvation? You know what most of them say? I've been going to church since I was a child. That's something I think that bothers me about as bad as anything is you get talking to a lot of these people. And look, we talked to somebody the other night, and you couldn't convince him otherwise. And me and Carla was talking about, look, we're just going to pray for him. This family, and like I said, I don't want y'all to think I'm trying to run people down, but what they're trusting for salvation is, they say, how could anybody think they're saved and not go to church? Well, see, what they're equating salvation with going to church. Going to church is a good thing, but that's not being saved. See, what's happening is people, it's like they've been going to church since they was brought up in church and stuff like that. And that's a good thing. But that's not salvation. You can't just make a checklist and say, okay, well, I go to church on Sunday and Wednesday, buddy. We got that took care of. That's what's happening in the mentality of people. And you got to understand that going to church is part of your service. It's not your salvation.
Amen.
That's like all the other. Reading your Bible is a good thing, but you can't trust the fact that you get up every morning at 4:30 in the morning and read your Bible. That's not your salvation. That has to do with your fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
Just spending time with the Lord. And what happens is, if you don't get that heavenly perspective with that earthly, what happens, you start mixing that stuff up, and before long you get a wrong perspective on life, and you think, well, it's just about what I can do here, and that's not right. You know what that Bible tells you? I think it's Romans 14:17. It said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. None of those things are physical. They're all spiritual. So you know what happens? If you get the spiritual right first, the physical will be in the right perspective. And he's got it off. Look at this. It says in verse 16, when I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business, to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. That's a bad thing right there. You know what I'm seeing about that verse right there? Some of the things are none of your business. Some people just, they look at things that aren't their business upon the earth so much they can't sleep.
That's right.
I know people that follow stocks, and they worry about the stock market to the fact that they cannot sleep at night.
That's right.
You know what? That's when you went too far with it. You don't put money in stocks? That's fine. That's your business. That's between you and God. I don't have nothing to do. But if it keeps you up at night, you're messed up in the mind to think that I'm right with God. We got it. Okay. Well, why is it keeping you up at night then? See, that stuff, he's seeing this business. Let me show you two verses about business. Luke chapter 2. Here's a familiar one. Luke chapter 2. And verse number, while you're turning there, I'll show you a couple of these things here. The Lord Jesus stayed back while his mother and his earthly father, Joseph, they were looking for him. So they had to come all the way back to get him. In verse 48 it says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dwelt with us? Behold, thy father, look at that, and it, Holy King James Bible, that's a lowercase F. You see that? Watch this. This is the word of God. Watch this. Lowercase F, Father, and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's, capital F, business. I'll tell you something. You see how that Bible, it tells you who his real father was. You can't beat that. I hadn't even checked it. I bet you new versions don't have that. Now, like I said, I hadn't checked it and I could be wrong. But watch this. My father's business, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. When you're doing the father's business sometime, you know what? And you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm learning this about following that Bible. Everybody's not always going to understand you, and they don't have to.
That's right.
You do what that Bible says and let God worry about the rest and let the chips fall where they may, so to speak. The issue is, a lot of times when you start trying to follow the Bible with your life, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'm learning that, you know what, some people who so-called Bible believers, you know what's happened? They will put you in bondage if you let them. And you know what you've got to realize? If they believe that stuff, let them believe it. Show them the verse if they want you to. But I'm not going to force anything on anybody. But you serve God and you go on about your business. Well, I've had people, look, back when I had that beard, I've had people say, which I had this big beard, Brother Nick, you missed it, man. I had a beard. I'm not kidding you. I was down here, wasn't it, Brother Mike? And I've had, yeah, maybe. And I had people, well, I can't believe you got that beard like that. You know, man, you're a preacher. Well, okay, well, big deal. Show me a Bible verse that says it's illegal to have a beard.
That's right.
It's little stuff like that. You know what you're going to have to realize? If they're stumbling over that fact and they can't find a verse to prove what they're trying to tell you, look, just pray for them and go on about your business. When you know you're serving God, go on about your business and don't let people bother you with things. Why? Because a lot of times people, if they believe something about a certain thing, they get mad if you don't believe. Why? Because it gives them comfort. It bothers them, see, if you don't believe just like they do. Why? Because they may be wrong and they don't want to deal with that. Man, I've shown people, look, some of this stuff. That Bible says that you are saved by grace through faith. And watch this. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. I've showed people that verse, and you know they want to put their dirty hands in it. So this is what they'll do. You mean to tell me somebody can get saved and not serve God the rest of their days and still be saved? The verse says, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. If I gave Brother Mike a gift and I said, Brother Mike, now look, I'm giving you this. This is yours.
That's right.
But in 10 years, I want you to come back and I want you to mow around the church and the parsonage and that gift to be yours. It ceases to be a gift.
That's exactly right.
It's a gift. If you give somebody something, it's a gift, no strings attached. Once God gives you salvation, He gives you salvation. Amen. And there's works, Ephesians chapter 2 said, that you should do. There's things that you should do, but that don't mean that you always would. Me and Carla was talking the other day. I said we was talking to these, but they're just as nice as they can be, but they've got standing and state mixed up, and they've got this whole thing where I just don't believe they're really saved because I've been around them before and they just got a bad attitude. I'm thinking, if you get around me the wrong day, you're probably going to think I'm lost. Why? Because, look, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I hate to tell you this, but I've had days where I went around about three or four days with about 3 hours of sleep. And you go back the next day and you know you got to work a 12-hour day. And let me tell you something, you might be short with some people. That happens. Now, look, I'm just as saved as I was the other day, but guess what? I'm on edge. Why? These bodies can only take so much. A lot of times it's not that you mean anything by it, and this is what I hate so bad. A lot of times you're meaner to your family members than you are somebody. You try your best to be nice to them, and something happens. What? What is it? Oh, I'm just calling to see if you wanted some lunch. I'm trying to work. And then later on, then you feel bad, and you're like, look, I'm an idiot. I'm dumb. It's almost like, and y'all, you just, these flesh bodies get tired.
Yes, they do, bro.
You're saved. I'm going to show you here in just a little bit. If you go by feelings, how your feelings blow around in the wind.
Yes.
And under the sun, you have to watch that thing. I'll try to get to this here in a minute. But this is the business. You have to look. And he says in Romans 12:11, be not slothful in business.
That's right.
Our business is to not be slothful, but fervent in spirit.
Okay.
That is a command for you to actually, be close to the Lord, and He wants you to be fervent about this thing. That's one thing about preaching. Look, there's different styles of preaching. I understand that. I understand some people are calm and some people kind of get excitable. But at the same time, there ought to be at least in your heart a level of excitement, the fact that you get to open God's Word and you're getting to talk to people about everlasting things that's going to last forever. That ought to at least excite you in your heart. Now, I'm not saying that's a stipulation of salvation. That's just a command to be fervent in spirit in the fact that, hey, it's exciting that, hey, these are the words of the living God that He allows us to live and breathe and to preach from and teach from and read and study on our own. Why is that such a neat thing? If y'all study genetics and possible outcomes of different things that people could be, the fact that you are here is a miracle.
Amen.
Because do you realize how many different outcomes there could have been that you wouldn't even be who you are?
That's right.
It's a miracle we're sitting here in this room. And you are who you are, and you look the way you look. I'm going to tell you something. That's right. Almighty God.
Yes, it is.
Almighty God. You ought to study sometimes. Two things. Go home and look at DNA. And I've got some verses that I can show you. It talks about the book and the body being connected like a book, and DNA opens up like a book. And then you study a thing called laminin. Go home sometime, and I'm not even going to spoil it for you. Look at the shape of laminin in your body and what it looks like and how laminin holds you together. And then you think of that thing when you go home and look at it. And when Jesus Christ said, through Him all things consist, that is, He is the thing that holds it all together. And when you look at what laminin is and what it does and the shape of laminin, it will blow your mind. The fact that we're here and we get to it fervent in spirit. That's the business we ought to be, you know, about right there, saying, Lord, man, ain't this a blessing that I get to be a part of anything You're doing? He says this, in verse 17, he says, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet he shall not be able to find it. Well, that's a contrast right there to what Paul says, that there's unsearchable riches there that God has revealed to you. See, this is mail right here directed to people who did not have the revelation of the mystery. And the Apostle Paul got mysteries revealed to him. And maybe later on we'll go over some of those. And like, you don't have to turn there tonight, but Ephesians 3:8, verse 8 and verse 19, Philippians 4:7, Romans 11:33, things like that. These are things that we have revealed to us today. That this was the wisest man from an earthly perspective. He said, there's things, I just can't find it out. And guess what that Bible says? You have things that are unsearchable. You couldn't even search it out in the Old Testament. And the Lord Jesus Christ revealed it to the Apostle Paul, and I can read about it. That's amazing to me. Why? Because one of these days, You don't have the details on the new body back here like we have the details in 1 Corinthians 11. That we're going to have a celestial body that is able to abide the heavens. That's amazing to me.
Yes, it is.
The difference between, look, a seed is technically, in a lot of senses, a seed is a tree. But you put that seed in the ground and let that thing grow up. And I tell you something, you wouldn't even recognize that little seed from a 30-year-old oak tree.
Right.
You plant these bodies. See, we're planted. We're rooted and grounded today. We're supposed to be rooted and grounded, Lord. You wait till this seed comes up in glory on the other side over there. And you're not even going to be able to recognize it. I'm going to say, wow, Brother Paul, I tell you what, you look wonderful today. Man, that's going to be, I mean, not to say that you look, but I'm just saying on the other side, these bodies get tired and we get worn out. So you imagine putting a full day in, not even being tired? You imagine how much work you could get done if you could work 12 hours and at the end of the day your hands wouldn't hurting you so bad. I know your hands hurt by the end of the day. And you imagine how putting that day, look, you can just serve the Lord all you want to. Just say, Lord, I'm ready for my next task. And keep going. Never get tired. Never. Never need a nap. My. That's going to be amazing. You can search this thing out. Let's look at a few more. He says in chapter 9, verse 1, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous," see, he's making a distinction in the Old Testament, "and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them." This verse is profound to me. I know I just probably sound plumb crazy to y'all, but when I look at this thing, I looked at that phrase in my concordance earlier today. The hand of God is, there's seven references, and they're only in the Old Testament to the hand of God. And when he's saying the hand of God, if you follow the ones along, we'll just look at Job. Let's look at Job 19. In Job 2. And so I'm going to reread this thing. He's looking at the righteous and the wise and their works. And he's talking about they're in the hand of God, because no man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. He's saying God's hand is in this thing. And I don't know love or hatred of all these things that go on before my eyes and before me. And so what's going on here? You read Job and you read about the hand of God. And we're going to look at the references. And from an earthly perspective, if you go by your feelings, from an earthly perspective, you can't tell whether the hand of God's against you or for you.
That's right.
Why? That's why you go by the scriptures, not your feelings. Right. Watch Job. We'll look at it in two places, and then we'll look at that definition there and show you this thing. Job 19 and verse number 21. Job was a righteous man before God, and he was serving the Lord and all these things. And look at verse number 21. It says, "Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me." He's attributing these things that's happened to him to the hand of God, saying God's done this by his hand. Now look at Job chapter 2, verse number 10. See this thing about the hand of God. Oftentimes, when you see things working and God working, if you go by your feelings, you can't figure it out. You can't tell whether he loves you or whether he hates you. You say, "Why? It just don't seem right." Look, why is here a good man, Job, was such a good man, good to his children, good to his wife, and done things that are right, and all these bad things started happening to Job, and his children are dying and stuff like that. And look, that's a hard thing to go by. In your mind, in your feelings, you know what you're saying? God must hate me. I must have done something wrong. If you listen to the wrong sermon, they'll say, "I'll tell you what, God's going to get your kids and stuff like that." That's not so. They have a free will choice, and every man is reckoned by his or her choices. Now, yeah, I can understand it may affect them if I took my hand and slapped them or something. Yeah, that's. But as far as their choices, there are good people who sometimes their kids turn out very bad, and there are plenty. I know parents who drank and smoked and cussed and fought and fussed and fight and everything else around their kid, and their kids some of the best spiritual folks you've ever seen in your life. And I know people that prayed around their kids, and I've lived long enough now to see people who they read the Bible around their kids, they took their children to church and stuff like that, and those children turned out, and some of them are so mean I can't even be around them. That's why they make their own choice. And if you look at things from an earthly perspective, you're saying the hand of God, I can't tell whether he loves me or hates me. That's why you can't go by your feelings, and you can't go by a lot of these preachers that get up there and they mesh stuff up and try to make it out like it's your fault when everybody made their own choice.
Right.
When people go to heaven or hell, guess what? The Lord's going to be able to say to those in hell, "You didn't choose me. And to those in heaven, you chose my son, Jesus Christ." He's not going to say, "Well, I know you was raised like so-and-so, and I understand." He's not going to say that. He's going to say, "Wherever you were, whatever happened, you had the choice and you made the choice. It's up to you." You can't put that. See, you know what happened? You will blame yourself for things, because we all do that. We blame ourselves for things you did not do. You can't tell. Look at Job 2 verse 10. It says, let me read verse 9 for context. "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." Look, you got to realize something. She's speaking from a broken heart.
Right.
Oftentimes, when you realize people say things, we automatically assume they meant what they said. Or out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaketh. Yeah, because wicked stuff got down in that heart and it's coming out. That don't mean they meant it. Well, I've said a lot of things I didn't mean. I've even had to go back and say, "Look, I apologize. I didn't mean that. I knew I could say it. I knew it'd make you mad. That's just the way we do sometimes. Watch what he says. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good? Watch this. At the hand of God. And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. He's saying it came from the hand of God. Now did it? Now watch this. Look at Job 2 verse 3. Satan's coming up and he's talking to the Lord. And in verse 3 it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man? Here's a good man. God, this is not Job's opinion. This is God saying he's a good man. It says, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Let me show you one more verse. Look at chapter 1, verse 12. He said, God said, thou movest me. Look at verse 12. It says in chapter 1, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You know what? God and Satan's right there working together. There's things going on in the background in people's lives you don't understand. And God took the credit. He said, thou movest me. God said, thou movest me, even though he said right here, he gave Satan the ability to be able to do it. And he gave Satan the parameters. He said, you can go this far, and that's as far as you can go.
Right.
And Job is a good man. You know what's happening in people's lives? There's things going on behind the scenes that none of us know. And there's people that say, well, the hand of God's on them. They must have been living a wicked life. There's something in the background you don't know. Yes, exactly right. There's something in the background you don't know why. Because some of the best people I know suffer things, all kinds of things happen in their life. And it's not because they were wicked. It was because they are good. Why? Because I know this right here. You read Proverbs tonight, chapter 1. And the Bible said the prosperity of fools will destroy them. You know why nothing happens to a lot of folks? It's because they're not doing anything anyway. And they're just prospering. Why? Because the devil has got them on a sleeping pill, so to speak. And he's got them saying, look, let everything in the world good. And let everything good come their way. And everything letting bad. Why? Because if he can get them to go through a life of not much happening, you know what? They won't call out on God. You know what happens to people who love the Lord when bad things happen? You know what they do first? You can tell when their mind is on God. The first thing, they start praying, they start calling out to God. Why? Because he's their rock. He's their refuge. Look, when you're in trouble, you go to your refuge.
That's right.
Well, you know what's going on? You're going to your refuge and all that type of stuff. And there's people that the devil tries to keep them in a state of prosperity all the time. And nothing bad ever happens. Why? Because he knows if he can keep them like that, that he can keep them from seeking out a different refuge.
That's right.
You know one thing is this dangerous about America? Is people are so scared about something bad happening in this country. Man, this is going to happen. The country might collapse. Or the country this, that, and that. You know one of the worst things that could happen for this country? Nothing bad ever happen again. You read books and stuff like that, and some of y'all older than me, y'all might be able to tell from stories passed down, but from some of the reading material I have, World War I, World War II, you know, people are doing this praying. They was coming together and they were praying together and they was putting aside a lot of this old petty stuff that people argue about. And they were praying. You know what was going on? A lot of stuff in the Great Depression. People were leaning on God and they were looking to God. You know one thing that can hurt this nation instead of helping it? If things bad don't ever happen, if the devil were allowed to just let everything prosper and everything prosper, you know what? People wouldn't seek God. So you know what happens? You watch. You let one, and I hate this happens, but you let one of these shootings happen or something like that. They don't want to put anything about prayer on the news. And you let something happen, you know what? Pray for these families. You let a big old hurricane come through in some of these towns and stuff like that. They'll put it on mainstream news. Pray for so-and-so. Well, where were their prayers when everything was good? Well, they didn't feel like it was a need. There's just as much a need to pray when things are going good as it is when things are going bad. There's just as much a need to say, thank you, Lord, when everything's going good. Why? Because you keep that fellowship up and you keep that relationship up. in all times because it's like exercise. Look, one reason, like for me, I try to do, I've got things that that the doctors told me to do for my lower back and stuff like that. I try to do that even on my off days, so the days that the work comes and I know I've had a heavy day, my back is strengthened to be able to handle all that bending over and stuff. Well, what you're doing is staying in fellowship with the Lord daily, daily, daily. That's keeping you strong, and that has to do with putting your armor on in Ephesians chapter 6. You're applying that doctrine to your daily life, and guess what? You, if the battle came, you don't have to run to the closet, so to speak, and throw the armor on and say, Lord, let me get in fellowship right quick. Let me walk with you, Lord. Let me walk with you. If you've been walking with the Lord and walking in those truths and putting on the new man, you look, I've got my uniform on all the time. I've been walking with the Lord today. I've been putting on my breastplate of righteousness, loins girded about with truth, and helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, all these things. And guess what? I've already got my shield of faith up. It's already there. I don't have to run the closet and get it, so to speak. Your walk with the Lord is what puts that on. It's not, Lord, give me faith now. If you've been walking with the Lord, guess what? That thing will just kick in. Why? Because you've already put on the new man by putting off the old man. And you know what happens when it comes up? It's there. That's why you serve God, you love the Lord and all this thing. In all things, give thanks. And everything else, why? It's walking in that doctrine of the new man all the time. And that way, when the battle comes, you're ready. You know, a lot of times people think, well, I wasn't ready, so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, when so-and-so bad happened, did you call out on God? You were more ready than you thought you were. See, I've talked to people before, and I've asked them, first thing, well, what was the first thing you did? Man, we just started praying. That's a strange thing, ain't it? So you think, well, I just don't know how I got through it. And they tell me the first thing they did was start praying. Okay, well, guess what? You put on the new man, and God just walked you right through that thing. Arrows coming down, everything else. It's your fault. You're never going to get through this stuff, and you may as well get up. You may as well give up. You know, all these arrows are coming your way, and guess what? You just, the shield of faith, just, and man, those fiery darts of the wicked are just going all over the place. You know what that is? That has to do with you going through those hard times. And you keeping that armor on by walking with the Lord every day. And that thing, and you say, I don't know how I got through it. I tell you how you got through it. The new man got you through it. The Lord got you through it. Man, that's a blessing that God would do it for us, isn't it? I appreciate y'all staying over like all time. All time. Now, Brother Nicky, if you would close us out.